partly linear autoregression and the classical estimation approach, and from the classical estimators it's quite natural how to introduce robust procedures. I will give some asymptotic results and then the results of a simulation study. Why do we need partly linear autoregression? In most situations when dealing with time series, ARMA models or autoregression models have been used. However, there are many situations in econometrical problems in which there are nonlinearity structures. So in order to solve this nonlinearity, an approach based on non-Gaussian ARMA process has been given. Some of them are ARCH models. The other possibility, as pointed by Gao and Yi, is to use a fully non-parametric autoregressive model. If one uses a fully non-parametric autoregressive models, one neglects a possible linear relation between y, t, at time t, and its lags from the past. That's a little the main idea of why it's sensible to fit a partly linear autoregressive model. However, most of the development in autoregressive models have been done when considering functionals that are purely parametric or purely non-parametric. And everyone knows that a reasonable parametric models produce precise inference when the model is true, and when it's badly misspecified when there are misleading when there is not the true model. On the other hand, non-parametric modeling is related to greater stability but lesser precision. What is the non-parametric regression model usually considered in the stationary situation? Usually one deals with observations following a strictly stationary process in which y is related to a vectorial variable, which can be the past in the situation we will deal with. And the problem which we face in this situation is the curse of dimensionality. As in the IID setting, we find empty neighborhoods. So in order to solve the problem of empty neighborhoods, what is usually done is to consider additive models. Additive models for mixing processes have been considered by Bayek and Werli in 1993 and also by Cheng and Tsai in 1993. The other approach is the approach we will follow here, that is to consider semi-parametric models, which are more flexible than standard linear ones and that will not have the problem of the curse of dimensionality which faced the fully non-parametric approach. What is a semi-parametric approach to time series model? The semi-parametric approach considers a time series which follows this model, in which there is a linear relation to some lags and some possible non-linear relation to other lags. G are smooth functions, and in the general non-parametric setting. And in this talk, I will only focus on the simplest of these models, which is the partly linear autoregressive model of order 2. So we have a linear autoregressive of order 1 and a nonlinear autoregression always also in order 1, of order 1. That's the model I will mainly be considering. The extension when you have an autoregression, a linear autoregression on P lags and just one nonlinear autoregression on another lag, it's quite simple. The more difficult problem is when you have an additive component here. In order to identify correctly the parameter beta and the function G, in the classical literature, it is assumed that the parameter beta and the function G satisfy that they are the unique minimums of this square expectation, the expectation of the square of the residuals. While using partly linear autoregression, the idea is that they give a simpler approach than fully nonparametric and fully additive models, and that maybe when one considers fully nonparametric models, there is some linear structure you are missing because you are not imposing any conditions. So here we are imposing some linear structure that could be existing between the series and its paths. In the case of IID observations, I have write the model in a little different way. We have IID observations which are linear on the carriers X and nonlinear on the carriers V. This model has been extensively studied. Here are some references by many authors considering kernel weights, splines, nearest neighbors. When considering a linear model like this with autoregressive errors which are satisfy a nonparametric model, we have autoregressive errors, but the autoregression is nonparametric, the model has been studied by Hidalgo. Also, the model in which you have autoregressive observations with fixed carriers and autoregressive errors have been studied recently by Quintela del Rio. The case of long-range dependent errors with fixed carriers has been studied by Gao and An, and the case of errors in variables have been studied in a paper by Liang, Hartley, and Carroll. So there is a lot of recent literature on these models. With respect to the autoregressive model, there is a prime here and it's univariate. With respect to the autoregressive model, there is less literature. Most of the results have been obtained by Gao, Liang, and there is now a monography, a book from Gao, Harley, Liang, and Gao, in this order, which gives a review of most of the techniques in partly linear models. What has been the approach with respect to autoregressive model? In the classical approach to these models, what has been done is the following. One considers this problem, and the first fact one should notice is that in order to estimate the function G in nonparametric in nonparametric autoregression, always, in most situations, mixing conditions are required in order to get consistency. There are also some results without mixing conditions, but in most situations, mixing conditions are required. So the first question is, under which conditions these models will be mixing? And in the book from Dukan, one can find conditions under which these models will be mixing. For instance, if the function g is bounded, the condition is that the parameter, if the function g is bounded and the errors have a density, the condition is, a sufficient condition is that the parameter beta should be in absolute value less than 1. If this holds, then the process is mixing. If the function g is not bounded, it should not grow more than a linear function. It should be bounded in the infinite by a linear function. And in this case, the condition is similar to the conditions required with the to the parameters of an autoregressive model of order 2. I mention this because then I will require mixing conditions, and one needs to know when this condition will hold. In general, there are two approaches to estimate the function, the autoregression function. I will call autoregression function the G function, even if maybe some of you think that the autoregression function is the full autoregression. And I will call beta the autoregression parameter, just to have in mind what I'm speaking. In general, I have two approaches. One is the kernel-based approach, and the other one is an orthogonal base of an or an spline-based approach. In the orthogonal-based approach, what one does is to approximate the function g using a family of orthogonal functions, orthonormal functions. The parameters of interest are the gammas, and then what has been done in a paper by Gao and Liang is to consider least squares estimators of beta and gamma. Following this approach, in the IID partly linear regression, Gao and Shi have considered M estimators, just changing the square function by a raw function. And in the case of repeated measurement, He, Sung, and Fung have also considered M estimate based on base splines. I have considered here kernel estimates, not splines or an orthogonal series approach. Why kernel? Okay. I have considered the kernel approach because it's quite natural how to estimate the parameters, the parameter beta and the autoregression function, using the property that this model, this specific model, has. We have this model, and if we take conditional expectation with respect to yt minus 2, one gets this identity, where phi 2 is the conditional expectation with a lag of 2, and phi 1 is the conditional expectation with a lag of 1. So if we rewrite this model using the expression for the function g, one gets this. And so if we redefine this as a residual r and this as a residual z, it's quite natural to think that one can, prior to the estimation of beta, one can insert here estimators for the conditional expectations. and estimators for the conditional expectations have been studied in many situations, and they are based on kernel weights. That's the approach which has been given by Gao and Gao and Yi. They have considered linear estimators based on kernel weights. These are the estimators for the conditional expectation of lag 1 and lag 2. And one can also consider nearest neighbor estimates. Instead of considering just a fixed bandwidth, we consider bandwidth based on the distance between Y and its key nearest neighbor among the observations of the first T minus 2 observations. Once one have these estimators for the conditional expectations, the least square estimates minimizes the sum of squares. If one takes this into account, if one takes into account this identity and what has been done in the classical case, one says, okay, instead of taking linear estimators, why can we plug in here more robust estimators, M estimators? Just inserting there M estimators for the, in this case, they will not be estimating conditional expectation, but conditional location functionals. And then, when arriving here to the minimization problem, instead of considering the square function, considering a more robust estimate for the parameter beta, for the regression parameter beta. Before doing that, I want to show you with a little with one example what is happening with the least square estimates. I have considered the Lynx data. The Lynx data is the annual record of the number of Canadian lynx trapped, and we have considered the transformation taking logarithm in base 10. This data set has been studied by Tong, who fits an autoregressive model of order 11. Wong and Kahn consider an additive model of order 2. And in Harley, Liang, and Gao, they have fit an autoregressive model, a partly autoregressive model also of order 2. The autoregression parameter was 1.34354, and this is the shape of the function G, which is not very linear. What we have done is we have changed one observation. We haven't taken a very extreme value for the outlier, because here it's quite... The first thing one can do is just take one observation and make it very, very large. But that makes that you are trapping maybe 6 million of lynxes, which is more than the true population of lynxes. And if you take a very small value of the observation, you are taking a negative number of trapped lynxes. So what we have done is just to change the observation I have pointed here in blue, this one, I change it to a negative value. I put the value of minus 1, which corresponds to having changed the number of lynxes was, I think, more than 1,000. I change it to 20. That's the idea. And in this case, the regression parameter, the autoregression parameter, changes, and the shape also of the function. If one gets a very wild observation, the shape of the function can be changed completely. here the function is decreasing, and by taking a very wild outlier, one can take, can obtain a function which is or mainly constant or changing the direction. But I haven't done this because it's quite, it has no sense in this example. But anyway, the function is less decreasing, decreases slower, and obviously the fitted values show here the problem due to the outlier. What happens if one performs a robust procedure in this case? If one performs a robust procedure with this data set, instead of having with a non-contaminated data set, the least square estimate was 1.35, and the estimate we will consider gives 13.83, and under the contamination, it changed a little, but not so much. And the shape of the function also doesn't change so much. If we consider the fitted values, there is a small sensitivity here. I don't know if you see. Here there is a small sensitivity, but the fitted values recover quite quickly. So, what we have done is the following. In the first step, we have considered local N estimates to be plugged here instead of the least squares estimates. And then, I forgot this transparency. Once we have done this, we have considered the pseudo-residuals, as in this theoretical 5 minutes. No. I have 40. These are the true residuals. I have constructed the pseudo-residuals, and then I have estimated beta using different kinds of regression estimates. The estimates I have used in the previous transparency for the links data are GM estimators. What happens in these models, and which is the main difference with linear autoregressive models? The main difference is the following. I'm mixing the transparencies. This model, if one thinks in a linear approach, this corresponds to an autoregressive model, a linear autoregressive model of order 2, in which one outlier spoils 3 observations. In this particular case, since we are smoothing, if in the neighborhood of each point we have more than 3 observations, then one outlier will spoil only one of these residuals and one of these zeta residuals. So we have 2 spoiled observations instead of 3. That's because we are smoothing, and so this observation has been previously smooth. This is a plot of the residuals, just to have an idea. We have one observation. These are simulated data. We have one observation. This is the outlier in the zeta value, and this is the outlier in the residuals corresponding to the time t. So, if one takes an epsilon percentage of outliers, they will spoil 2 epsilon percentage of our of observations in the transform model. For the general partly linear autoregressive model, they will spoil p plus 1 residuals. What we were able to show for these estimators is consistency and asymptotic normality. For the asymptotic normality, we need that the mixing coefficients are symmetric, and we also need a rate of convergence of the initial estimate here. And if one doesn't require compact support of the white, this conversion should be uniform over all the real numbers. So up to this moment, we were able to show that this condition holds if the autoregressive observations have compact support. I know that this is not a very good result, but it's the first approach we are given. In the classical setting, this is a use. In general, the results I obtained under this condition, and we are trying to remove that condition. And okay, this Z are the true residuals here. And in the case where the wave function W, I haven't write down the estimators, I have forgotten. We are considering families of estimators which can be defined through this equation, like a generalized M estimator. And in the case where the function W2 is the identity, then one gets as the efficiency just given by these expectations, this rate of expectations. 10 minutes. Wait a minute. Now I will show you the results of a Monte Carlo study and some of the problems which arise here. We have considered two kinds of smoothers, kernel and nearest neighbor smoothers. And we have considered for each of them two choices of the smoothing parameters. How we have chosen these smoothers parameters, we have done as follows. A measure of the fit. A measure of the fit, of the goodness of fit, is to compare the true function with the fitted function. This can be done for all the observations. So here we have taken a mean over observation of the mean square error, of the square error. And then what one wants to is to take expectation. So we have replicates and we have taken mean over replicates. These are the plots for the linear estimators, which have a minimum on 0.4. These are the plots for the GM estimators. We have a minimum also near 0.4. But what happens if we change one observation? If we change a 5% observation as expected, these minimums moved. These are the functions we have obtained. This shows that the cross-validation method in this autoregression model will not work if taking least squares. So what we have also consider is taking medians. We first take median square errors and then median over the replications. And the results for the GM estimators shows that there is much stability. The minimum is 0.4 in both situations, which makes us to hope that the cross-validating using medians will be a way to choose the bandwidth parameter or the number of neighbors. Okay, we haven't done in this simulation because it's very time-consuming. It's very expensive in time because for each observation we have to compute the regression, the conditional regressions, the conditional expectations, and then the estimates of the beta parameter, and then over a grid of values of H. And okay, maybe I will not be here speaking to you if I have run these simulations. Okay, it's just for simulation, it's very time consuming. That's why I'm not presenting the results of that study. The model we have considered is to generate a 1100 series following this model, in which obviously beta is less than 1, and we have considered a bounded function in order to ensure that the process is mixing. As initial values, we have taken the errors, and one of the restrictions of this model is that you cannot take as initial values the two values equal to 0, because in order to have identifiability, there will not be relation between two consecutive observations. That's why we take this. Then we just stay with the last 100. We get the last 100 observations, and under no contamination, we consider normal errors. Under contaminations, we have considered a 5% contamination in the innovations, and then additive outliers. Okay, I will show you quickly the results. The most surprising, maybe, result is that the choice of the bandwidth is not so important when you are estimating the parameter, the autoregression parameter. If you see, both transparencies are quite similar, both bad or good, independently of the choice of the bandwidth. We have considered the least square estimate, M estimators, with Hilbert function GM, least median for squares, and this is the median of the rate between the residuals R and the Z residuals, the bounded influence, the optimal bounded influence for autoregression. In general, what one sees is that nearest neighbors give better results than kernel smoothers, not only in this case, but also when one considers the measures. This is the measure, the median of the square error for the function G. And here is the result with the other situation. If one looks here, I don't know why they... Nearest neighbors are better than kernels. And one wonders why this is happening. And also why it is happening that with respect to the regression parameter, we have this behavior, for instance, with least median. Okay, what happened is the following. I have here a plot to try to explain what's happening. What's happening is the following. In the independent setting, the robust procedures which have been considered, in general, they are designed to consider outliers in the carriers X and residuals in the errors, but not residuals in the function in the carrier V. The carrier V is taken to be fixed design points. In the partly linear autoregressive models, outliers in X, which is IT minus 1, or outliers in V can happen and are as natural in one than in the other variable. So, what is happening is the following. If we are considering, let's put it here, if we are considering a robust smoother with a fixed bandwidth, then with one outlier, there is no way of having any smooth. It just takes the point because you have a fixed bandwidth around one outlier, you just have one observation. So the M estimator, the linear estimator, or whatever, will just give the exact point. Yes, 2 minutes. So, when you are transforming the observations to the transform model, RT, and I lost my transparency. No, it's here. It's not here. Okay. When you are transforming the model by considering RT equal Y minus phi Y T minus 2, T2, and ZT equal Y T minus 1 minus phi 1, YT minus 2, you will get observations both with a zero in the residuals of YT and with a zero on the observation in the ZT observation. Instead, when you are considering nearest neighbor with kernels, you will not get a zero. So the estimator of beta will be less variable. That's why this happens with the... See, yes, I'm finishing, okay? I will finish. Okay. I will show you, in general, my last transparency, which makes a summary of what can be observed. With respect to the autoregression parameter, the estimates based on nearest neighbor with kernel show less variability than those based in kernel estimates. This is the main explanation. And with respect to the autoregression function, also the procedures based on nearest neighbor with kernel are more stable than those based on kernels. So the recommendation here is when dealing with partly linear models, do not use just kernel, but use nearest neighbor methods, which seems to be more adequate in this setting. I finish. 40.
One question.
Basic question.
Basic.
I didn't know these processes before. Are you so sure that they always have a stationary solution?
There is a paper of TGO, which shows under which conditions they are stationary. Those I have put, he included here for alpha mixing, entails a stationarity. Okay. There are conditions on the function G on, and on the errors if they have a density. which ensures stationarity. Yes.
Conditions on G, for example, they are very restrictive, or?
No, the condition, for instance, which ensures both stationarity and mixing is that the function G outside a compact doesn't grow more than a linear function, okay? For x bigger than x naught, okay? And it's bounded over any compact set. With continuity, you have that. And this is a rate. The function g should not grow more than a linear function, okay?
Okay, the same thing. Speak it again. We're going to talk about the last thing, the fourth thing.